fighting for America.
Yeah, a cop just got shot.
I saw him. He got shot in the face.
Yeah, he got shot. I saw that. Laid on the ground. I didn't get him, but I saw him. They taking cover. It was none of the protesters. It was at least 500 feet up Tiffin. We didn't see it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Seriousness, the violence that took place, it's really sad and really shocking, and we hope to never hear of something like this again. And I mean, this is really just terrible, terrible.
Fighting for you.
How much traffic control does the city of Eagle need, for crying out loud? Everybody understands green light, red light.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
He's a five-year-old.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Coming up, Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue with us. Pat from Middleton, he's here. Well, he's smiling today, but quickly we're going to go to Rachel. Rachel, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO.
Hi, I just had a quick comment. I just wanted to say that I don't think that you're letting your guest finish a sentence. It's constantly being interrupted, and I think it's a little annoying to listen to. I would like to hear his point of view just as well as yours.
Well, if he had something to say, I wouldn't interrupt him.
Okay. Then why did you have him on?
It's all in good fun. If you'd listen, he kind of comes in
like,
to
like
kind of hang out. I'm sorry, I was answering your question. You go ahead. Mm-hmm. I'll just listen. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I don't know if you're just in the mood today or what, but whatever.
Yep, whatever. You too. Bye-bye. Eh, you can't please everybody. You know, and you thought that as the sheriff, you had your issues, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. That's quite an opening. Thank you.
This is the problem when you have Pat from Middleton here. He steals the show.
Things go downhill.
I didn't get to hear that. So was it good? Was it
oh, yeah. She just smacked me the whole time.
Well, I'm good. Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate it.
Yes. Yes, oh, yeah, she just smacked me for being rude.
No wonder you didn't give me a headphone so I could hear what she was saying.
Yes, the audience can really understand that you don't have headphones. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm doing my best, you know, to kind of relate to where you are with the public.
I can understand that. I see it. I appreciate the appreciate you being there for me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about law enforcement. Obviously, what's going on nationwide in Ferguson, in New York. You're tied in with your fellow brothers and sisters in law enforcement. How is that impacting how you police in Canyon County, sir?
You know, it's of course everyone is concerned about, really across the nation, especially law enforcement, about what's going on and the negativity, of course, toward law enforcement. And out here, we certainly have what we believe to be a better relationship with our constituents, with the people we serve, the public, and praise God for that we do have that kind of relationship. And, you know, it doesn't really change a lot how we work out here. We do a lot of community policing. All of our local agencies do the same thing as we do. We reach out to the communities. We're very involved and interact with all the community partners and business people and just, of course, schools with SRO programs. I think that's really the key, is making sure we are involved with the communities and be involved with the public to let them know that we are there to serve them and that we're here for public safety. And, you know, in terms of my staff, we're very careful about or continue to make sure we treat people with respect and dignity, and they're all human beings, and we're not the judge and jury. You know, we're out there to enforce the law when we need to and keep the community safe.
How dangerous is being a police officer these days, being a sheriff?
Well, being the sheriff, I don't think is as dangerous as what I used to do. I guess in different ways it is, but I think it's very dangerous for all police officers today, law enforcement officers. There's just so many things. Obviously, the Internet opens up all kinds of different aspects of threats, because there's so much access to learning how to do bad things, you know, in terms of if you're making bombs or getting access to illegal weapons and things of that nature. And then, you know, we see across the country the ambushes that are taking place against police officers. That's really a serious threat, in my opinion. And, you know, when an officer, deputy or police officer, pulls over a car or comes up on a car, for instance, every single case is different, and you have to be really on edge every time you walk out there, because you don't know what you're facing. And it could be that you're thinking, well, this person's broke down, I'm going to go up and give them assistance and get help on the way. And that could be that call where this is a felon who's running from the law or has committed a heinous crime and thinks, uh-oh, the cops have got me, this is it. And then the guns come out and things happen. So, you just never really know. And of course, in not just in stopping cars or anything else, that's in any situation we're called to a house, a domestic violence or a potential burglary in progress or anything. So it's, you know, law enforcement are on pins and needles a little bit these days, because I think just the heightened sense of awareness and more people means more bad things can happen. Quite frankly, humans have a strange way of trying to get along. So.
Right. This show is an example of that. Pat from Milton, do you have a question?
Not a question. I applaud them. I understand. I know how difficult it is to walk up to something in the middle of the night. But it doesn't help when your leadership, when the administration, people in charge, people that really represent our society are putting you down all the time. I mean, Eric Holder and Obama, they've really done a number on getting people to turn, to have this anger, unnecessary anger towards police, because it's so misinformation. And it really, if they just they'd stand up and say, look, they're people, they're in your community, they're part of your family, they're part of your area, they're not the bad guys here. They're just, you know, we all love an officer when they come to help and rescue us, but we don't love an officer when we get pulled over for speeding ticket.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they're there to support. They live in your I've got a son-in-law who's a Napa City cop. I've got a brother in the Knights of Columbus that's a detective for Boise Police. I mean, I love these guys, and they're just rootin' tootin' Bronco fans just like anybody else, and have a beer on a weekend and stuff like that. And they're in our neighborhoods, and yet you guys walk into so many unknown situations. But it really makes it worse when people like Obama and Eric Holder play it down, put it down.
Okay, is there a question here?
No.
Okay, you're making a political statement.
I was.
You know, the sheriff is a non-political person. We're here to talk about Canyon County issues, and you're bashing
but
Obama.
I was letting
And we're talking
know
about you having beers.
I, as a citizen, understand.
And Rachel, this is why I cut him off. But I'm sorry. Go ahead. Back to you and the beers and the cops.
I was just
and all good Bronco fans.
As a constituent,
yes, sir.
I understand that things are escalated when people who are in charge and responsible don't.
I think we caught that the first time, Pat.
Yeah, but you just like argue with me.
Yes, that's how I show my affection.
You know, there's some good points to what he said. Sifting through them.
Oh, no, great. Now you're going with Pat. You and Rachel.
I'm sifting through them, but I'm trying to categorize them real quickly. But
yes, well, yes, Obama. Good guys, Knights of Columbus, yes.
The beer, perhaps.
Yes,
I don't
the beer,
know.
Yes.
You know, and I appreciate Pat's comments on supporting officers, and they are part of your community. As we've talked, Kevin, many times, and I know you're a Christian guy too, and it's about being called to service. You know, these men and women truly are called to service. Not everyone is in law enforcement. There's a reason for that. I strongly believe, as always, that I've been called to that service and proud to be here and proud to be the sheriff and lead the troops. And quite frankly, that's what I am. I'm just the guy at the top. Everybody else supports that mission and supports me. But it's about being out there and taking care of people. These are regular people. They've just been called to a different duty.
And we'll get another political statement here from Pat in a second at 580KIDO. What can we do, to Pat's point about everybody, you know, loves police officers until they get a ticket? And it always amazes me that, and both of you know my parents, that, mm-hmm. you know, I was taught the meaning of respect, but it always amazes me when you're pulled over and somebody, like, gives the officer a hard time. I mean, they're the decider, and for me, it's yes, officer, no, officer. What could we do to, you know, assure the officer, you know, to de-escalate anything, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Are there any tips?
Yeah, there are, actually. It is. I think Pat probably brings it up, and just like you did, too. It's about that respect. I mean, we pay men and women in law enforcement because they are the people out there enforcing the law that we as a society have created. You know, the legislature, Congress, whatever you want to say, but those laws are out there. So when that officer pulls you over, it's very important to we don't like people moving around in the car. It makes us nervous. Are they going for a gun? Are they going for a knife? What are they doing? So the first thing is, you know, realize that this is that officer's job. It's just like you here at the radio station or me at my office. It's their job. It's their duty. So when they come up on that car, they don't know who you are. They don't know if you've had a really bad day at work or a really bad morning, or you argued with your husband, or you argued with your wife, or the kids were late for school. Right? I mean, that's normal stuff that happens to people. And so when that officer walks up, he doesn't know any of that. He just knows that for whatever reason, he had to pull this car over. Hands on the steering wheel. We like to see people's hands. We don't want to see the hands down by the console. We don't want to see them under the seat. We don't want to see them in their pockets. if you've got a cigarette, get rid of it. You know what I'm saying? Because everything that we see, we have to, the officer has to take all that in split seconds to see where what the situation is he's walking into. And then it's about officers, they're a problem, and he'll first thing they're going to say is, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? Or they're going to say, can I see your driver's and license and registration, proof of insurance? It's about being compliant and being respectful, and that is the de-escalation, right? You know, he's pulled me over. I'm probably going to get a ticket. I'm so mad. I don't have $300. Whatever it is.
Sure.
But you've got to set that aside and realize this person is just doing their job. And then tell him what, this is why I'm having a bad day. They're going to listen to you. They don't just walk off. They're going to listen to you, and they're going to be compassionate to what you're going through. Because guess what? They've had those same days themselves.
You know, and this isn't any comparison, but I do event security at the Idaho Center, mm-hmm. and we do bag check for mm-hmm. weapons and alcohol because, you know, we don't want to bring it in. And people act like they're being so put out for something they know clearly says, don't bring any outside food or drink, any weapons or anything like that. And yet when you ask them to check their bag or something like that, it's like, oh, my God, this is just – it's like – dude, it's for your safety.
Yeah, for the safety of everyone.
It's for the safety of everyone, but we care about your safety mm-hmm. as well as anybody else. Mm-hmm. And so I think you'd be just as grateful that I caught someone bringing in a knife or, mm-hmm. or a gun and that's sitting next to you.
There's no question. I think that's an excellent point. That's an excellent point that we are – it is for the people's safety. There's a policy obviously in place at that establishment and many others to protect everyone, make sure everyone has a good time while they're there. They enjoy themselves. It's entertainment. And we don't want those things. And so that's a conscious effort. If I'm going to go to the Idaho Center and they're going to check my bag, I should know that going in. It shouldn't be a surprise when I get there. But there again, think about that same on the other side of that, the person who's coming with their purse or their bag, they're excited to be there. They want to get in. They've had a hard day or a long week, and they want to get in there and see their friends. So a little bit of that compassion, too, goes from the other side as well, that, you know what, these people just want to get in here and have a good time, and they're in a hurry. Maybe they're late. They didn't get off work early enough. So it's about people understanding that life is life. It's kind of crazy at times. We just got to slow down.
Indeed. Pat, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. That's why I smile at it.
And thank you for going over your frisking techniques with us. The listener benefits are just overwhelming, but we do appreciate you. You
know, Kevin, that. I'd frisk you anytime, man.
I'm going to step out and get some coffee. Just
have to have some alone time.
Yeah.
717, you're listening to 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, to our friend Pat from Middleton, good luck judging the DECA competition. Really a great program for local schools throughout the country. Influencing and encouraging entrepreneurs. Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue with us. And one of the issues that has made national headlines is the shooting at Jackson's. Certainly your staff working with other law enforcement agencies continue to search for these two suspects. Any latest news that you can share with us, sir?
Well, you know, we continue to look at all the leads pouring in, and we still thankfully do have the public's help in providing us with additional fresh leads. And we're still running down some of the stuff that we've already got. I wish I could sit here and tell you that we've got it all under control and got it wrapped up. We do not. We do not have that situation resolved yet. And that's very troubling to me as the sheriff. It's very troubling to our staff, the men and women who are putting in, you know, at times around the clock work on this. And it's very troubling really to the public because you certainly have two people out there who have certainly shown a propensity for a heinous crime, for violence, and we don't have them in custody. So that's on our minds 24/7 right now and has been since the event. We put in literally thousands of man hours and want to give a shout out to all of our fellow agencies who have helped us out on this. And there's so many. They're too numerous to mention, but we've certainly had a lot of support from other local law enforcement agencies and federal agencies that have jumped right in there to help us, and we greatly appreciate it. It's a situation where we're going to continue to follow up on leads. I think at some point people will be talking. You know, that's kind of what you wait for. You want that one little tip or that one little lead that corroborates another part of your investigation, and hopefully that will come about, you know, something that's just that one little break that we just haven't got yet. But that's why we keep putting it out to the public and keep looking at things in a different fashion, and somebody saw something, somebody knows somebody, and, you know, we're very hopeful and confident that that information will surface eventually. Obviously, we'd rather it sooner or later, and I know the public would rather have it sooner than later, and, of course, the family.
Sure.
The victim would rather have it sooner.
Well, and you take a look at that, what happened at Jackson's, then the triple homicide in Ada County, and you've always warned me, you know, Kevin Miller, you know, we live in a great area. We have great cooperation between the county, the city, the local, and the feds. But there are bad elements, and unfortunately, these are reminders.
They really are. And as you know, Nampa had a homicide this last weekend as well.
Right.
So all three of us are kind of in this zone. And are we seeing an uptick in that? Possibly. I can't say that we are or we're not. But if you look at our numbers from last year, we had 10 homicides here in Canyon County. Not here, but out in Canyon County.
Sure.
Six of those.
This studio feels like Canyon County.
It does. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's the right. Canyon County element.
Exactly. Yeah.
But, you know, six of those from August to Christmas. I mean, that's pretty serious. And so are we seeing that? Are we seeing an uptick? I hope not, but we have talked about it many times. You know, we sometimes live on that bubble.
Right.
And we do live in such a wonderful place with wonderful people. And as Bill Roscoe, our friend Bill, always says, you know, it's the most giving communities he's ever been around. But with growth comes criminal element, without question. It's out there. And people do bad things. And so it really, as we always talking about, you know, with the jail stuff that, you know, we let a lot of people out of jail out there.
Right.
You know, and I say we, the judiciary is the ones that make the decisions of that. Certainly not the sheriff, certainly not the jail commander or anyone else. That's always up to the judiciary, to the judge,
sure,
to make those decisions. But we have great assistance by the prosecutor and the public defender's office and others. But that's that fear is, who are we letting out? The what if factor keeps me up at night, obviously, about, you know, what is that bad time coming and what is it going to be? And That's a risk for all of us.
What is the latest with the jail? We've heard the stories coming out on the TV and such. We've heard a plan by the commissioners possibly to expand what they have. You've gone over the needs specifically. Where are we?
Well, the recent thing is that the Board of County Commissioners have, prior to the last election, prior to Kathy Alder leaving office, and when Tom Dale won the election against her, they had proposed a conceptual jail expansion on the grounds where we are, where the jail exists today. It's a conceptual plan. It's moving forward with a different process now of trying to find a design build team. Those teams have been interviewed with, you know, they're very reputable construction companies, but it's the Board of County Commissioners' plan. It's not my plan. I disagree with the plan for a variety of reasons, but primarily because of I think there's certain elements that we cannot overcome and we certainly can't ignore, but it would be to expand the building that we're in today and to try to accommodate another 200 to 300 beds of a facility. The first problem with that is that if you add on to the building we're in, you're going to make the new building part of the old building, which we're under an ACL federal consent decree for the last 5 years, so you're immediately going to be making the new building part of the old, and you can't get away from that.
And then you check the water, what, six times a day, is it?
At least four times a day. So things of that nature, you know, but the other biggest part of that is it's a two-tiered construction, which is absolutely opposite of what the industry calls for. We want horizontal builds in the detention facilities.
Let's quickly go to Cindy in Boise with Canyon County Sheriff Karen Donahue at 580-KIDO. Hey, Cindy.
Good morning. I just have a question for the sheriff. I don't know if he can answer it or not, but I'm just curious. first off, I want to thank you for all you and your employees do. You guys are amazing. I was wondering, with all of these murders, do you think that it's mostly gang, or do you think that there may be a serial killer on the loose, or... I know I don't want to scare anybody, but I'm just curious.
No, those are great questions and great concerns. First of all, thank you for your words about the service. We love what we do, and we're glad to do it for you. So thank you. No, I don't believe there's a what we would term as a serial killer out there. I don't believe that at all right now. I think you just have a series of events that are happening that are a little bit coincidental at times, but nothing in a pattern. The current homicides that we're seeing. I can't relate to all gang activity. There are people involved in I can't speak for Nampa's homicide at all. I do know the victim in that particular case. I know of that victim, and that person did have some gang ties in his history. So hard to narrow down where that is, Cindy. Years ago we had quite a few gang-related homicides throughout the Treasure Valley. We've done a very good job with our law enforcement partners throughout the valley of addressing the gang issue. The gang issue will always be there; it doesn't go away. We're gonna stay aggressive. We're gonna keep our resources in place and keep going after it. If people want to recruit others to gangs, we're going to go after them and hopefully convict them and put them outside of our normal civilization here into federal and state detention facilities. So. It's a good question. I think that the communities need to be vigilant. People in the communities need to be vigilant. I don't think there's an actual scare out there. However, at the same time, at least in my particular case or our particular case, we don't have these folks in custody, so that is a little bit troubling. But I think people just need to be vigilant and be careful and look out for each other.
Cindy, thank you for the call.
Thank you very, very much.
All right, more with Sheriff Donahue coming up next. You're listening to 580 KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Coming up more with our conversation with Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue at 580 KIDO. Joining us now, Jared Halpern of Fox News Radio. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning to you.
So, I don't know which is more delectable here, the emails involving the former First Lady, the former junior senator from New York, the former Secretary of State, or, Scott Walker versus Jeb Bush in New Hampshire. You pick.
I guess we have a long time to discuss all of them.
Well, let's start with Walker versus Bush. How does Scott Walker come out of nowhere to be the next big thing?
Well, it's early. There are going to be a lot of next big things in this Republican primary, to be sure. You'll remember in 2007, everybody was talking about how Michelle Bachmann was the big new thing in that race, and you'll recall how she became president after that. So my point is that I think in this stage, where there are a lot of Republicans jostling in these early states, and by the way, nobody has yet declared their candidacy, you're going to see a lot of people give these speeches and these appearances that propel them. The question, of course, will become if they're able to sustain that momentum, and if they can stand up to the media scrutiny that follows that momentum. And that seems to be the struggle right now for Scott Walker.
You take a look at Walker. He hasn't had an easy ride in Wisconsin, but the national attention, the national scrutiny is a little bit more intense.
It is, to be sure. And the national scrutiny that he got in Wisconsin was based only on the right to work stuff. So he has had, at least as you point out, this sort of momentum building last couple of weeks, some slips when it comes to foreign policy, when it comes to issues outside of his comfort zone, where he's really been a cause celeb for conservatives on the issue of unions and right to work. Certainly, when you seek the Republican nomination for president, there's going to be a lot more that comes up, ISIS and other foreign policy decisions, the Iran letter. These are things that he's going to be tested on and certainly is going to have to provide, I think, more clear answers than maybe what he's done up to this point. He's in New Hampshire today, I think. I don't think any of his events are public. Jeb Bush, I think, has some public events. That's going to be the other part of this as well. How many of these events that he does in Iowa, how many of these events that he does in New Hampshire, for everybody, by the way, are going to be closed door, just meeting with donors, and how many are going to be public speeches. You have to find the right balance and the right mix when you're running for president.
Jared Halpern joining us from Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. How does Hillary being on the cover of Time magazine and this recent attention impact her alleged inevitability?
Well, I still think that there is that inevitability, which is why she's going to be on the cover of Time and is getting the type of attention that she's getting, because that there isn't right now, unlike the Republican side, this wide open Democratic race. I think even with this email stuff, she still remains the front runner. We'll see if there's a Democrat who's able to use it to their advantage and leapfrog forward. That seems unlikely simply because anybody else considering running for president on the Democratic side, whether it's Jim Webb or former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, or even Senator Elizabeth Warren, who has said repeatedly she doesn't want to run for president, none of them have the infrastructure in place, have the financial backing, have the network that's needed to run for president. So in all of those respects, email controversy aside, Hillary Clinton still is far and away the potential front runner if she moves forward, as it looks like she will, with a campaign.
Jared, anything else we should be looking out for this weekend as far as any of the other contenders?
Well, I think you always want to sort of, I mean, they're going to be moving around. I would only, as I think I started off talking about, be cautious that we're still a long way out, and you're going to see a lot of ebb and flow in this race, and there's going to be missteps from everybody. The question, of course, is going to be how recoverable these missteps are. And I think, by the way, that's a big question when you talk about Hillary Clinton. On its surface right now, I mean, she had this email thing. People may not like that she only had one device. People may not like that she was using the one email account for both personal and State Department business. At this stage, it doesn't look like she violated the law. We'll see if she did. We'll see if her statement that she didn't send any classified information through this account holds up. So long as that remains true, it seems like the only thing that is troublesome is that she was treated differently under the Obama administration than even President Obama. Violating practices from your boss is not necessarily illegal. It certainly raises questions, and she's certainly going to have to continue to face scrutiny and a media storm surrounding that. I guess the good news for Hillary Clinton is she's got a few decades worth of experience dealing with a media storm and scrutiny.
Jared, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure thing.
Jared Halpern joining us, Fox News Radio. Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue with us at 580 KIDO. Would you like to comment on any of those issues there?
I'm not Pat from Middleton.
Apparently, yes. Yeah. Yes, he'll be calling in a minute. But let's get back to the issue of the Canyon County Jail. Is that the number one issue in the county? We've talked about losing great law enforcement officers. We understand that there's not a money tree. What is, and we've talked about your vision with the standards versus that of the county commissioners. What's the number one issue in Canyon County?
Well, you're right. The number one exposed liability issue in the county is the county jail. And that's repeated many times by our prosecuting attorney, Brian Taylor, who speaks out to all the counties, all the cities, rather, within the county. And that's his opening statement about some of the greatest concerns exposed liability is that particular building. You know, it was never designed properly, in our opinion. It's certainly not functionally proper, in our opinion, and we have to operate it. That is from the exposed liability. The second issue in the county, and that goes for all county employees, is wages. You know, we're not competitive with other counties. We're not competitive with our within cities within the county from a law enforcement perspective, and really it's for all of our county employees. There's over 700 employees, and the first thing that outside of for us in law enforcement, we say that the first thing that the role of any government is public safety. That has to be the number one role. Otherwise, you have chaos. Secondly, though, you have to take care of the people who run that infrastructure, and that's your people. That's the only thing we produce in as employers out there is people. And so we have to invest in the people, and that simply hasn't been done over the last literally decades. And we're now trying to push the commission and others to, and I think they're listening. I think they are finally listening to say, you know what, we are not competitive. We have to do a market salary analysis. We're looking at hiring an outside consultant to do so, to show the discrepancies and deficiencies in our salary bases so that we can keep good people. We hire good people. We just can't keep them because they go off to someone else who's paying them more money.
What is the challenge? I mean, you have two great cities and many more in Canyon County, but two significant ones when we're talking population in the Gem State, mm-hmm. Nampa and Caldwell. How is that as far as, you know, competing for officers and competing for funds?
It's incredibly difficult. Incredibly difficult. Very simple math. It's not real complex. as you know, I mean, it takes us about 4 months to hire a person. We may get 125 applicants, but we may hire six of those because of background checks, polygraph, a thorough testing process and vetting process, and keeping that standard of law enforcement. So once we get them, and then we hire them, then we're into them for 23 weeks of training, including an academy over at Meridian, at a post academy. Then we, after 23 weeks, we can finally be on their own. That's just the detention officer, right? And patrol is similar to that. But so once we get them, well, when they look across the street, or they look to Nampa or Caldwell or Middleton or other places, and they're paying more money, they're like, why am I here? I can make more money. I can still be in law enforcement, do the work that I love, that I'm called to do. Go to Boise, go to Meridian, go to any of those cities and counties. And so we really do get some great people, but we have been and we continue to be the training ground, and that is absolutely the wrong way to run government. You can't be that.
We go to the phones. We go to Walt in Nampa for Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue at 580KIDO. Hello, Walt.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Great.
I have a question for your guest, and something that's been kind of disturbing me for quite a while. Is the militarization of the police departments. This giving them all free military gear, and I get the impression they're being bribed with some of this stuff. And I understand Obama's maybe thinking about offering cash prizes if you take his stuff.
Well,
so I'm just wondering how the sheriff feels about this.
Well, thank you, Walt. I haven't heard the cash prize thing, and I chuckled at that. I haven't heard it. From militarization standpoints, I think you're talking about the 1033 program. And just from my perspective and for your knowledge, I mean, we get very little through that program. We do take advantage of it for things like telescopic equipment for rifles. We do some clothing. We don't do very much. We don't get very much through that program. I know other agencies throughout have done like the MRAPs, if you will, the heavily armed equipment, motorized equipment. We don't do that in my office. We do take advantage, like I say, of some of the clothing, extra clothing aspects, and that surplus, things like that. And of course, like I say, the optics for firearms. It's very expensive, but it's very limited, and I don't look at it from a militarization standpoint. As you know, Walt, we're kind of a paramilitary organization. Any law enforcement organization is, just because of our structure and command structure. But
I understand that, but mm-hmm. My question comes up. I'm presuming, I'm making an estimate,
sure.
A guess, but a number of your people, our various police departments, et cetera, are ex-military, and they're used to having this stuff, and they think nothing of using it.
Well, let me jump in here for a second here, Walt. So you have no MRAPs or anything?
No.
And you have Ada County that has an armored vehicle. You have Nampa that has a legitimate MRAP. But just to make sure everybody knows the differences, Canyon County does not.
Canyon County Sheriff's Office does not. And there's a difference, too, between an MRAP and a Bearcat, I can't think.
Bear crawl. All right, Walt, thank you for the call. Let's go to Terry in Nampa for Sheriff Donahue at 580KIDO. Hello, Terry.
Hello, boss. Hey, Sheriff Donahue, I just want to let you know that there are people over here in Canyon County that support you 100% on your new jail. We definitely need it. I've luckily never seen the inside of your jail, but I do have some relatives that have, for, you know, minor DUIs and stuff like that.
Sure.
But I agree 100% with you. We need a new jail, and that is the one thing this county needs more than anything else, is new jail to house the criminal element, so to speak.
Well, thank you for that comment, and I agree with you. And that there is a difference, now that you've said that. I mean, there's a difference between a new jail and expanding the jail that we have. And that I'm not in favor of expanding the jail that we have for a number of reasons. Staffing limitations, attorney-client visit limitations, things that are constitutionally that we have to provide for the inmate. And so also the ACLU, we've been under that consent decree for 5 years. I'd really like to get out from underneath that for the burden of the taxpayer. I think down the road we will build a new jail. We certainly have the land to do so out on Pond Lane, 2026. We have 24 acres out there. I think that's the long-term vision of the county needs to be, how do we protect society? How do we, as you said, take the criminal element off the street and give them a timeout, if you will, and protect them? And we have to be visionary in looking at the approach of what's the long-term plan? We got to look 25, 30, 40 years down the road. That's our job as government, is to provide, you know, when we leave office, what's going to be, what are we going to leave behind? And so we have to be far more visionary in our approach. So I think that it is the number one exposed liability to the county from a lawsuit standpoint is that jail and what comes with it. And probably in most counties that is a exposed liability, but in ours it's just heightened by the decrepitness of that building.
Terry, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. Time for traffic now at 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And before we go to the news, Sheriff Donahue, we want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
We'd love to have you back. Maybe we need to come out and see you again. Maybe we'll go to the jail one more time.
That'd Let's do fun. It. Yeah, come on out. And hey, is Mom listening today?
Yep,
Mom,
she is.
Hello, Mom.
All right.
Glad
Hello,
to
Mom.
Talk to you.
Hello, Dad. They love it when Sheriff Donahue's on. Me, not so much. But time for traffic now. Good morning, Dave. KIDO coming up next. Fox News on the radio, and Pat from Middleton just shows up. Coming up next, Tom Munns makes his case to rewrite the Idaho Constitution. That's happening this week. Do you want to be a part of it? Find out next. KIDO.